Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday. It's Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us once again the opportunity to share with you the Word of God. We thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. We want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. Phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So, once again, today is Saturday. You know it's heart to heart, brotherly and handmaidens. And as we await for our brother to come on to head this off, I want to take the time also once again to thank God for all of you that have been listening. Once again, may the Lord bless you, your families, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. So while we wait for my brother to come on, let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again, you have blessed us to assemble together to go into the Word of God. Father, we ask right now that you will bless the speakers, Lord God, that they will give the word for your glory, that they will rightly divide your word. And to those that are listening, that, Lord, that they will speak under your anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that you will bless the hearers, that they will have a receiving and open heart to hear the word of God, that they may be open to receive and hear the full truth. And Lord God, that they may know that it is by your Spirit that you have given this word, Father, that it may bring joy to their heart. Father, we pray for every sick that is listening to this broadcast, those of them with heart problems. We pray that you will heal the heart. Those who are having blood pressure problems, that they will be healed of blood pressure. Those who are suffering with pains in their body, we call out the pain and command it to go. Every pain in the lower back, we command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Every pain in the leg, we call it to go. We command you to leave right now and quit affecting that body, quit affecting the walk of that person. We speak to shoulder pain, and we command the shoulder pain to leave right now. Lord, every blood vessel in that shoulder to be healed in Jesus' name. We speak to neck pain right now. We command that pain to leave in the name of Jesus. We come against every imp, every cohort of Satan that he has sent that is directly afflicting the bodies of the people. We come against you right now, the spirit of cancer that's causing cancer. We come against it right now. We command you to leave the body of that person that you're tormenting in their body. We command you to leave by the blood of Jesus and by the authority given us of Jesus Christ. We pray for those who have vision problems right now. Lord God, we pray that you will heal the eye right now, the retina of the eye. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, cause, Lord God, the healing power to restore it. Cause the vision to be restored. Cause that which is causing and affecting the vision to go in the name of Jesus. We pray for the ears, Lord God. Those who have been having problems hearing, Lord God, that you will restore, Lord God, the vessels in the ear and cause the ear to hear again. Lord God, we right now in the name of Jesus, we call on you to remove any deafness right now and cause the ear to open to hear right now in the name of Jesus. We come against mental problems, mental stress affecting the mind. We call out Alzheimer's, Lord, and dementia right now in the name of Jesus. We call you out and command you to go. We speak healing to the mind right now, restoration to the mind right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even that sickness was put on you, and you conquer it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For by your stripes we are healed in Jesus' name for the glory of the living God. Right now, we come against any kind of form of heart attack or stroke. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command you to turn loose of that man or that woman right now. We speak healing to their heart right now in the name of Jesus. Restoration right now in Jesus' name to that person who has suffered or in the midst of suffering a heart attack. We bind it right now. We come against every stroke right now, even of the brain, in the name of Jesus. We speak to the blood vessels and we command it to flow properly in Jesus' name. Lord, we call on your name, your power of your spirit. We call for revelation that you would open minds to open doors, Lord, that God, that repentance may come forth and cause a restoration of health right now in the name of Jesus, that the healing power of Christ may flow freely to the bodies of those who are listening tonight in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise and magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen. God bless, brother.
Shalom. Shalom. This is the day that Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it for his precious gift, his own beloved Son, only begotten. So we rejoice with you. Glorious day that we're able to again share and come together on the airwaves, a phenomenon in the days of the apostles and years ago, but now is a normal thing that we can talk to people around the world and sitting in our homes and can send the gospel, send hope, send deliverance, send healing, and send a rescue through the faith in the Word of God. So we are actually reserved unto this last generation, and God must have had something awesome and something wonderful for those people he's preserved for this last generation. No accident, no coincidence, no throwing the dice. He planned it. And here we are talking and sharing and fellowshipping in the Lord today. You in Durant, Mississippi. I in Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City. Thank God. Hello?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. This is Talk Rock Radio that we have been privileged and blessed with the opportunity and to speak and declare hope, eternal hope to the world in darkness, chaos, and hopelessness. So we're really we are blessed that God has submitted us and charged us little bitty peons to be a servant of light and truth in these last days. So I'm going to declare my voice as one crying in the wilderness, there is hope because Jesus died and rose again and at the right hand of the Father, and he has sent hope and send light to a perishing world in darkness and chaos. So we love the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge him and the Holy Spirit, and we acknowledge all the saints and all the believers in every part of the earth who are doing the works of the Lord. Thank God for them. This is Women's Night, Handmaiden Night. Our dear sisters, wives and husbands and supporters and givers and raisers of the home and the children's and director. In many areas of life, we celebrate the women of God in particular this night. Thank God for our backbone and our sidebone. If it wasn't for the women and the works and the movements of God, it probably wouldn't got done. It wouldn't fully got done without the backbone and the sidebone, which you call the women. The women. So, Ken, how you doing? We're having a lot of wind today in Chicago. We call it Windy City for nothing.
Well, it seems as though y'all has sent some of that our way. We're having cooler temperatures. Well, it's cooler to us. It may be summer to you. So we've been having 40-something degrees and with a wind chill. So it looked like y'all has been feeling like what Obama said, you've been wanting to share the wealth. So it seemed like y'all have sent some this way.
Well, thank the Lord. We are.
You sounded far away there, brother.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you clear now.
Yeah, I've been having a problem with this little phone here. So if it starts fading, let me know. To everyone on the have the privilege and opportunity to listen to Talk Brock Radio, we're here on this radio by commission, charge, and the blessings of the Lord to share with you something that will help you in these last days where people are searching for answers. And we are partakers of God's grace to Jesus Christ that we're able to speak and share. And we don't have any little scams to try to sell you some rocks and some water and stuff like that. And we don't beg you for money. We just want you to maybe listen, and you may hear the glorious news about the coming of Christ and what's about to take place in the earth, that you may be a part of the kingdom of God and be ready when Jesus comes. So we are partakers of the grace and redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious gospel, which is made of redemption, recovery, reconciliation to the Father, justification through our Lord Jesus, his atonement, and the power of his resurrection. And these are the days of Elijah the prophet to restore all things. So we're living in the last hour, the restoration of all things, Acts 3, 20 and 22, Malachi 4 and 5, and Revelation 14 and 6. And so our brothers, Brother Nathaniel Evangelist, Nathaniel Hahn and Elder Robert Gross, Chicago, have been sharing through the week about the adventure, about the restoration of all things. And I hope you continue to listen. And in that year, they're on for basically 3 or 4 days a week at 7 p.m. Nightly. And I hope that you'll listen and you'll learn some things about the prophecy and the end time and the plan of God for the nations of the earth. So y'all been coming along and revealing much, right?
That's right, and I say within a couple of weeks, we're going to get in a little deeper, brother.
Well, the deeper you dig, the deeper the water will rise. So the more the light will appear. So that's great. So may the Lord girdle you by with strength, and the angels of the Lord be near to preserve you, and the Holy Ghost inspire and anoint you to do well, to reach many people in many nations that are looking for eternal hope in this day. So you'll continue to unfold and unveil the mysteries of the kingdom of God in these last hours. You know, the Lord Jesus revealed something in that little what we call preparatory redemption prayer when he says, "Our Father which in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." And he was saying something that what kind of prayer we should pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is already in heaven. So heaven, he wants to bring heaven to earth, and us to walk in the kingdom of God in Christ in heaven on earth before Jesus actually come back and bring the heavenly glory to fill the earth. He wants us to take dominion, rule, and subdue, and bring the influence and power of the kingdom to all of the world. The message of the kingdom of God before the end comes. Matthew 24 and 12 and 14. Before the end and Christ come to settle in and rule on the Sabbath day, he wants his people who raised up to do a mighty work. So we're grateful.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. So may the Lord grant extra grace and power and anoint your head with holy unction oil to do great and mighty things during your declaration about the kingdom of God. This is the midnight cry, the voice of one crying. This is the days of Elijah the prophet, that all the all the prophets spoke about the times of the restitution and restoration of all things. So we're living in that hour. So this is the great hour and a most wonderful hour for those that have been reserved to blow the trumpet in Zion. This is one of the greatest hour, what we call the redeemed believers, the covenant believers, who often is referred to as church, the congregation of the righteous in Christ, the redeemed in Christ, the sons and heirs and joint heirs to Jesus Christ. Now, this is what we call, use this term church, and I don't want to be misunderstood when I use that term, because it is so expanded to mean many things. And so when I say church now and then, I'll use that word so you're familiar, because I don't like to use that term too much. The word church is so misaligned and misunderstood and misapplied that I often, when I use the church, mostly they're talking about Christians, believers or the covenant believers of Christian. That's generally, but all people in the term church is not necessarily, how should I put this, not necessary in fellowship and in revelation, because the word church actually means a body of believers, a body of Christ believers, gospel believers, redeemed and walking in the spirit and light of Christ. And they are a group of people who are called the army, the body of believers, the covenant believers. So when I use the term church, I use it disparately because it's so misaligned. And I'm like the Apostle Paul says, he called them the body of Christ. He called them citizens, heirs of John Evans Christ, and the kingdom of God. And I rather talk to them, the kingdom citizens. Okay. All right. This is a wonderful day, and we're sharing. And I was thinking a few minutes before I was sitting here, was any particular thing that needed to be spoken of and to reveal. And the thing that came to me is the Lord Jesus, the Lord God, loves to heal. He loves to heal the broken things, the broken places, the broken lives. He loves to heal the nations. And the word heal, he's not through with just healing you. He wants to redeem and restore and make a people well and whole, a people who are called right falling of Christ, who are called the righteousness in Christ. So the Lord loves, you read the Bible, the gospel is about him making people well and whole. It's about redeeming people from the curse of sin and death, sickness, disease, and poverty, and making them completely whole and well. So the gospel is the power of healing, and it's about three areas that people need to be healed. The one that that often people, when you hear the word healed, they usually think about the physical part. But the most important part of our healing is about our spiritual part. And so it's the other part, the physical and the mental and emotional, but the spiritual part deals with us having been joined together by faith with a relationship where our sins are cast away and we receive life in Christ, and we have fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, this is important, having been made reconciled and having fellowship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost, having fellowship with the Father and the Son, who are one in the Holy Ghost through the blood and the death of Christ. There is no way you can have fellowship with the living God without the blood, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have to make those three things plain. Because a lot of people think that they can be joined to God again after the fall and they're in sin. The only way you can get back in fellowship with the living God and receive the life of God, you have to come through Jesus Christ who died on the cross. He not only redeemed us, and people don't understand this, it's not just Christ atoned for our sins. He has to defeat death, break the power of death and the grave in order for you to live again. So the atonement, him redeeming you from sin, is not the end result. But the end result is that Jesus conquered death and the grave took the keys of death and hell, and that all that believed in him can rise again. Without that, the atonement by itself doesn't give you inheritance to live again by itself. So I just want to make that clear, because a lot of people think that the resurrection part, where he conquered death and the grave and Satan, if he had not rose again, if he had not conquered death, hell, and the grave, we would have no hope. So I just want to emphasize that. That's why the devil and spread these lies in religion that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and he did not bodily rise from the dead. All false religion must deny the blood, the atonement for all men, and that his power of conquering death, hell, and the grave, and rose again bodily and said, I am the life and the resurrection. So, he that believeth on me, he's going to live eternity with God. So, can you still hear me, brother?
Yeah, I can hear you clear.
All right. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I remember, we're going to talk Abelard today. Have you ever met anyone that we'll talk about? Many people over the period of time has died and came back to life again. We have stories even in many nations for many centuries of people coming back to life after they have died. Now, I have met and talked to a couple of people that had died and came back and was sent back by God, or came back to life through prayer or faith, or was sent back by the Lord to finish their mission. Have you heard of any such?
Yeah, I heard of many that had happened.
Okay, can you kind of enlighten on one incident, something in particular?
I remember, for example, Kenneth. Remember the story of Kenneth Hagin? They had been praying, what was it, for this man in the hospital, and he died, and he said his spirit went to heaven, and he was told by Jesus, you have to go back. He said, because Kenneth and them would not let you come, because they had been praying for the man in, I think they was in the hospital. And I have come across encounters where people have been in, like one man was in a car accident, and he actually wrote a book. I think it's called 90 Minutes in Heaven. And he actually came back. The Lord told me he had to go back. So, yeah, I've come across, more and more individuals are coming out about it. You know what I'm saying, brother? I think some of them was probably afraid to say something, but I see more of them is coming out with it now.
Yes, they had a fear for many years. Fear of many people leaving their body and actually dying or leaving out of spirit, leaving their body. And some of them were going to hell and viewed hell and on in hell. And some went actually to.
You're going down low, brother.
Okay, can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, we're going to try to get hold. Now, we have, over the years, many people were scared to being stigmatized, being a nut or crazy or fanatic or delusionary. And so they kept silent, many people. Then many doctors that were operating on people, they refused to say anything for years, at least to getting in trouble. People that's dying on the operating table and experiencing hell, and they just put it, you know, just say, well, they was having a delusion. But actually seeing people leaving, dying on the table and saying they've seen hell, going into the hell and going in hellfire, and then some people leaving and being taken to heaven and being sent back into their body. So for years and years, many people over the earth has experienced this, leaving the body and dying and having no heart pulse or any no heartbeat or any breath, being officially and medically dead. Some of them been gone as long as 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then after you leave the body, and the brain is supposed to be brain dead after 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, your brain cells will. And so people have been out of their body 10 and 15 minutes and came back, and their brains and their intelligence was whole. And some have experienced being taken by angels to heaven, some experience going into hell or the lake of fire, and being some of them being sent back. So they were labeled as being, can you hear me?
Yeah, but you know what, brother? Do you know that from what you're saying right now and what I testify to, do you know that there's some Christians that have a problem with that? In fact, I talked to one brother, and I mentioned to him one time about how this particular guy went to hell, and he said, no, that couldn't be. He said, that ain't happened, because God said, well, that's it. So you have some Christians that don't accept that or won't hear that, because they bring up to the loser saying, you know, once you dead, that's it, you know.
Well, of course, when Jesus rose from the dead in his day, many of the Jews still did not believe. And
right.
So he appeared after his resurrection to his own disciples, and many infallible proofs showing them that he had risen from the dead. You read the gospel where he appeared to many. And at one time, he appeared to 500 believers at one time. He appeared off and on to his disciples and his followers after the resurrection. He gave them proof, infallible proof, Luke says, touch me, feel me. He ate with them. They didn't touch him, that he was a real resurrected person. They put a hand in his side, in his wounds, in his hands. And he appeared to many. On the 40 days he stood, after his death, he stayed around the earth about 40 days before he ascended to heaven to give them proof. But then he gave them additional proof. In Matthew 27, when he rose from dead, he conquered death in the grave. And all the, most of the prophets and the saints that believed on them, they rose from the dead, Matthew 27. And he had them to appear to many people in Jerusalem, and they saw them. These people had died and gone on. Someone was the prophets, and someone they knew, and they raised from the dead. And then when Jesus rose, he had these who had been in the earth and in that place waiting for him to conquer death and the grave, they arose with Christ. And the Bible said in Matthew 20, and many body of the saints arose and appeared unto many and went into the truth and appeared to many as a added witness that the resurrection from the dead, and Jesus was the conqueror of death, and he was the life and the resurrection. And he had these dead saints who once David, Isaiah, all of them, Moses, all of them, they were raised from the dead. John the Baptist raised from the dead, and they went into the cities to bear witness. See, the Lord always gives authentic witnesses, and he had all these things to verify that he himself had risen from the dead and that he was the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave, that he was the Messiah, the promised one, and he conquered death. And these people appeared because they were in their resurrected body to many and bear witness to them in Jerusalem. Now, of course, in spite of all these witnesses, those Jews, many of them did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Redeemer, the promised one. They still did. When there was a reason why Jesus waited how many days? 4 days. You know why when Lazarus died, he waited for 4 days instead of three or whatever? He waited till the fourth day. Do anybody understand why he waited till the fourth day? Well, whenever the Lord does something at a particular time, there is a reason, and actually a wise reason why he does it. And there's two particular reasons that we need to understand why he did not come immediately after he was dead the first day, or Lazarus had died the second day. He could have came the first day and second day and raised them, but he didn't. He waited on purpose for a certain length of time, and when he got to the place of the house of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, and they was crying and weeping, and all many Jews in community were weeping, because Lazarus was well known. He was rich. He was a very dedicated Jew, and Jesus was a friend. He was very close to Lazarus. He was visiting him many times, and what he called and resorted with him. And so Jesus waited until the body began to depose. Because after the fourth day, they could not say that he was just having a nap.
Right.
The customers, after the third day, the fourth day, now he goes, oh, well, he was just in a little coma, and he woke up. After the fourth day, the body started to decompose. Okay.
Right.
He's wrapped in these burial clothes and wrapped, all wrapped, and he's in this tomb. And the thing is over the tomb, and he'd been there 4 days. So they can't say, oh, well, he was just having a little nap. Maybe he got a little conscious, something like that. He's not really dead. But Jesus fixed that. He waited 4 days.
Amen.
After the third day. So he shut their mouth. Because he know. Scientifically, biologically, and he knew the religious reason why he waited. When he called Lazarus forth, remember, it's not like in our day where we're in a coffin and you got our suit on. It's not like, see, Western people, Western Christians, they think like Western Christians. They don't know and understand the culture of the Jewish culture in that day. They buried on top of the ground. They're not buried in the ground. They did not embalm. They put fluid over you and wrap you and prepare it, but they did not embalm the body. Did you get that?
Right.
The Egyptians embalmed. Now, Israel had been 400 years in Egypt, and they learned some things from the Egyptians, the African people. And 400 years, they learned a lot of things that people don't want to tell you, that they learned some poverty things, some good things while they're in Egypt, and they were not all evil. But I ain't going to get into that. Okay.
Right.
They cut out caves called sepulchral tombs on the top when they bury people in tombs or sepulchral, the grave site. Jesus was placed in a tomb or a sepulchral. He was wrapped in these gauze and embalmed with all these sweet-smelling fluids. So on the fourth day, Jesus, he arrives, and they're all saying, he's dead. He's dead. No use of you coming now. He's dead. The question arrives from his friends, Martha and Mary, the sister of Lazarus, why didn't you not come when we first called you and summoned you? You could have saved him before he died. Jesus Christ loves to glorify the Father. And he wants to bring glory to his Father. And he loves to heal and to restore. And it's not a matter of pride, or egotistical like we see some people want some self-glory. Because Jesus only wanted to glorify his Father. He said, I can do nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself. As I see the Father, that's what I do. When I hear the Father, that's what I speak. Listen, if we ever get to that place in maturity in Christ, where we only do what the Father say, we'll be arrived to be a mature church. We only see and hear what the Father say and do and hear what everything. Jesus said, I never do one thing till I see or hear from the Father. The Father do work it, and I work it. When he speaks, I speak. When he works, I work. When we ever get to that place in Christ, the body of Christ is called by the in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, to come to a place of maturity and unity like Jesus was on the earth. Because Jesus said, follow me and do like I do. And he says, the day will come that you'll do greater works than what I do. Greater works. The day will come when the church of Jesus Christ will do greater works. And the early church, they did great works. Hallelujah. Now, understand this. Can you imagine, brother, then in the fifth chapter, that the people laid all these sick people in the street from all, and that they were, as Peter walked through, Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
As the Apostle Peter walked through the streets, they laid all these people out there. And their faith was that this is the kind of faith they had come to. They believed that as they laid all the multitude of sick people, that Peter, as he walked by, his shadow would heal them. Did you get that?
Amen.
His shadow. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What kind of faith had they come to in the days of the early apostles? They believed that when Peter had so much virtue and close and authority from Christ, that his shadow, not his hand, not the oar, his shadow, as he passed by, his shadow would heal them.
Amen.
Okay, what I'm hearing there, some pots and pans. Are y'all cooking some?
No, we're not.
Okay, I'm hearing some pots rattling, the pots and pans. I wonder what's in on my side or something.
No, it's we're in the room in here. I got you on a loudspeaker.
Oh, loudspeaker. Oh. Okay. Now, Jesus had gave the apostles, the early apostles, the works that he had did, and Peter was the mainline one, the leader among the apostles. And his shadow, I'm hearing a lot of interference in the background, brother. That's what, rallying stuff going.
That's me walking with the phone.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you think something God wants to do, want to show us in the last generation, like Peter, his shadow overshadowed them and healed them, his shadow? Can you imagine a man's shadow healing people?
Amen.
Shadow. He's trying to get a people that bring us to in the restoration of all of the last days like that, because he loves to make people whole and well to show his glory of the Father. Now, Elijah, we're living in the days of Elijah, where Elijah raised people from the dead in the Old Testament before the New Testament come. He raised people from the dead. Now, only several prophets in the Old Bible, in the Old Testament, had this kind of power and stature with God. That was Moses, Elijah, and Elisha. There's a reason why they were given this power and authority. Moses, Elijah, the Tishbite, and his mentor, Elisha, who received a double portion. Now, when Elisha died and they put him in the sepulchre, I'm going to show you how much when a man died and they took him and put him down in the hole or in the sepulchre where Elisha's bones was. The moment that dead man touched the bones of the dead Elisha, the prophet Elijah, he came back to life.
Amen.
Why is this significant? Because those things are a type and a shadow to symbolize what the Lord will do in the New Testament and greater things. He told the disciples in 14th chapter, you said, greater works will you do than what I do. Hallelujah, greater works. Now, thank you, Jesus. I've talked to a couple of people that died and came back in Chicago. And one of the first guys that I used to visit him now and then, his church, because I know some of my buddies, we would visit different churches. When I first came to Christ, I visited a lot of churches. I would visit them. And one of these ministers, he was a Church of God in Christ, man, and he had died two times. one at Cook County Hospital of cancer, brain cancer, and he died again on the opportunity of something. He died twice. And he told his experience of going to heaven. And people need to know why the Lord keep leaving a witness to people in every generation about people being brought back to life and risen from the dead. Because none of the other religions in the world, they cannot bear witness that their God raised anybody from the dead. Did you get that?
Amen.
You know why none of these religions, no matter how great they are, they can't restore an arm or restore a withered leg or restore a kidney or restore a person back to life again? Because they don't have life. They don't have the life in the resurrection. That's why the Muslims, they can't do that. That's why the Confucius, the Zoroaster, none of those religions. Now, they got some witchcraft in Zulu. They try to make like they bring a zombie back to life or something. That'd be a demon spirit in them trying to make like the person's alive. Now, when Jesus said, I am the life and the resurrection, nobody in any religion in the world, not even Muhammad, Allah, or any of the religions can make that claim. That on 4 days, one of Muhammad went to the grave and raised this person from the dead. Now, we need to understand why they can't. Because Jesus said, my Father and I are the only ones that have life. And I created life, and I'm the life and the resurrection in 11th chapter. So, you know, these religions, you say, you shouldn't talk about religion. Jesus hates religions. Let me get this. The living God, he hates religion. He did not create religion. The devil and man create religion. Let me say this again. I said the devil and man created all these religions. That's why there's so much confusion in the air. Satan is the God of confusion. He wants people to think that all these hundreds and thousands of different religions are the way. Are the way. That's why they hate the cross. Have you ever thought why most of the religions hate the cross and the death on the cross? Why they speak against the death on the cross and Christ on the cross? You ever thought about why so many demons, these religions hate that and they won't point to that?
I've seen with these religions, one of the things about it is that they all share a common goal that they have to put down the deity at the lordship, the deity of Christ, and, you know, what he did.
On the cross. Now, you got to signify that because it's what he did on Calvary. See, that's the significant part. Now, it is not, when people think that the miracles that he did while he was in his ministry, that was the most significant. No, that's not the most significant part. He could have restored people eyeballs and restored their legs. But if he had not went to the cross and buried their sins and iniquity, all that would have been nothing because you could not live again without the atonement and the resurrection. See, hallelujah. This is why we have to understand the reason why the blood, the atonement, and the resurrection is a significant part of the gospel. Why Satan must destroy not only the deity, that Jesus was the sinless Son of God, conceived by the Holy Ghost. They have to attack that, the blood and its conception. They have to attack that Jesus did not rise bodily from the dead. He did not conquer death, that he's still in the grave. He's just like another man. They must attack that because that's the hub of the gospel. Why do all the false religions have to try to make Jesus just a prophet? Even some Christians think that Jesus was a prophet. Now, they're not. That don't mean they're not Christian. It's just that they're incorrect about that. That's all that means. Now, if Jesus Christ in the 11th chapter of Matthew is not the life and the resurrection, the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave, conquered death, and only one can give life, eternal life, if that's not true, or if that's not real, then you might as well take the Bible down. See, if Jesus did not rise from the dead and conquer death, you could put the Bible down because you ain't got no hope, no eternal hope to live again. If he did not get up again on the third day and went down to the heart of the earth where all the people dying waiting for him and loosed the captive, he brought them alive from the dead. He conquered, took the keys in death and hell from Satan, who has a right to hold them because sin still reigns. He did something that had not been done. He conquered death and the power of the grave. Then the third thing he did, he took the keys of death and hell from Satan. Say, give them. Give them here. And then he raised all those from the death who had died before Christ. Now, Mary, the mother of Jesus, did not die before Christ. So she is not raised. Let me say that again. Mary, the mother, earthly mother of the Son, did not die before her Son. She died after Jesus' death.
Amen.
So she's not raised from the dead. She's still in paradise.
Amen.
She doesn't have a... You get that?
Amen.
So when you hear all these reports by the Catholics that Mary appeared to them, and they was, that's not Mary, because she's not raised. She can't appear. She can't. Now, in your dream, many things can take place, but she can't actually appear. Why? Because she's not raised. Her spirit and her spirit body is still in paradise. Now, so when these Catholics tell you Mary was Lady of Fatima, we saw her and she talked with us, you're not talking to Mary. You're talking to a familiar spirit who imitating Mary. So
Amen.
When your uncle appear in your house and shake your bed, that's my uncle. That ain't your uncle, baby. Yeah, that's my uncle. But that's my cousin because he played the same piano before he died. That ain't your cousin, baby. Yeah, but I heard the door shut, and only auntie did that. That ain't auntie. Who is that? Who is that imitator?
Familiar spirit.
Yeah, that's what they call this familiar spirit. When people go to nuclear monsters to contact their dead relative, which the Bible forbid to do such, forbid Israel to do, forbid all Christians. Well, I want to talk to auntie, so I go to this two-head person and I talk and call up my auntie. So the person called up and the person, which is the nuclear monster, they get on their little stuff and they call up this spirit. And yeah, that sounds just like Uncle. Yeah, because he knew this and that. And so they believe that they're talking to their dead cousin and auntie. And I want to know where you left the money at. Uncle Sue, where'd you bury the money at? So the spirit tells them something, and so they think they're talking to uncle and cousin. Yeah, that's how they sound, just like them. Yeah, that sound like them. So they believe in a lie, a deception. Hallelujah. Now, we don't bring this up because Satan tries to imitate everything God does, but that's, he can only go so far. Notice that devils and demons does not restore life, limb, bodies, teeth, or raise people from the dead. Why? They can't go there. Now, you know when Moses went to Egypt, the sorceress, they could lay down their stuff. They could only do the first two steps. Then that's all far they could go. They put down their snake. Moses put down his serpent. But they couldn't go any farther. See, they couldn't go any farther. See, Satan can only go so far to try to imitate the real thing, to try to masquerade the real thing. Okay? Oh, today, especially in the Western world, people want to know the future. So they go to these people that the Bible said in 18th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 20th chapter of Leviticus and 18 told Israel to have nothing to do with these nations that call up these strange gods and these demons that they worship. So he said, don't go into them. You'll curse. If you do, you get a curse. So here's the thing about people. People are doing it today. They're doing the same thing Israel did. They went into these peoples and wizards and mutter and moan. And you read in the scriptures, you say, who you're talking to? Well, I'm talking to God. No, you ain't talking. You're talking to the God of the earth. You're talking to God, 2 Corinthians 4, the God who is over kingdom of darkness, who's called Satan and Lucifer and familiar spirits. Now, when they we have people all over California say, call in a psychic so I can tell your future. They call themselves psychics, horoscopes, readers, palm readers. All these information you're getting is from demons. You have to know what Satan does to try to imitate. All right. But these are the days where the living God, it will show up and verify himself through the scriptures, through the prophets. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians, everything, every spiritual event you have placed, it must go through a test to see whether it comes from God, the living God. Every experience, every vision, every prophet, what they say, must go through the scripture test in order for you to discern where it come from. What source? Okay. Amen. So now we have a lot of people calling these psychics on the telephone, and they're just making a multitude of money, and they get them some facts that they have learned from demons and learned some of these facts from demons, and they think they're talking. These demons can give you some facts because they roam the earth and they take notes. They got notebooks. They know things about you because they see you and they roam the earth. So they tell you a few things. They cannot tell you your future. They cannot read your mind. Now, demons can't read your mind. They can read your actions, but they can't read your mind. They can't read your thoughts. And that's what's scary. And people think they can read them. No, they can read your actions and your behavior. And they can look at your past and try to tell you something, what they have learned in the past, and they can read something about your behavior, your actions, and they come up with certain things. But they cannot read your thoughts or your mind. Now, here's the thing. When you pray, they hear you pray. But let me hear you. Here's another thing. When you pray in tongues, in a heavenly language, they cannot understand you, and they are awe because you're talking directly to God. This is what saints don't know. Why God, one of the reasons why God gave you a prayer language that's out of your tongue, because you can talk directly to God, mysteries in 1 Corinthians 14, and the devil don't know what you're saying. And it messes him up.
Amen.
Can you hear me? So now,
yeah,
you know why, one of the reasons why the devil hate the heavenly language and the tongues and fight the legitimate tongues in God, why people fight the tongues? Because the tongues that God give you in the Holy Ghost is a mighty weapon. It's a weapon and also a communication tool. And you notice why Satan fights it. Even Christians fight tongues, you know, because there's some illegitimate tongues and false tongues, of course. But everything that's legitimate always got to have a false. Everything that's legitimate got to have an opposite. And so people try to make, well, everything is false. So that's how they scare people off from the legitimate. But the reason that Satan hates tongues, the heavenly language of the Holy Ghost, because it's a mighty tool against him and a mighty tool to directly talk directly to God from your spirit, not from your mind, not from your thoughts. Notice that when you pray, Paul's talking about 1 Corinthians 14, in your own language, you can only go so far, and then you run out of words. But when you pray in the Spirit, when the Holy Ghost intercedes and pray in that language, you surpass your limitation of your mind, and the Holy Spirit intercedes and give you talk directly to God, and you're unlimited in your prayer. So, you know, he hates that tongue stuff. Amen. All right. Okay. The Lord wants to restore the shadows. It's so much cancer, afflictions in kidneys, and heart problems in the earth, right?
Amen.
And the major killer, the third one, is heart attacks. And the second lady, they had heart problems, then they got cancer. I don't know what cancer is the second one. Cardiology, the heart problem, the cholesterol. Now, part of why people are dying of heart attacks, part of it is Jesus said in Matthew, in the end days, there would be so much stress and anxiety that people would, he said, would faint with fear or anxiety for the things that are happening and seen. So people are dying from anxiety and pressure and fear and worry. Now, you notice how the devil tried to kill you through worry?
Amen.
Brother Nate. You notice
I hear you clear.
Do you know why the devil like to make you keep you on anxiety so he can kill you by worry?
Amen. Yeah.
And this is called oppression. Now, when I get up in the morning and I start jumping on this worry stuff and fear, hallelujah, I start jumping on worry and fear that attack my mind because he want me to worry and fear all day long. Therefore, he can hinder the working of God and the Holy Ghost and stop your communication with God because you worry. See, you can't worry and be under worry and exercise faith, can you?
Amen.
Now, worry is to steal your peace that keep your heart. Remember what he says, that peace of God keeps your heart and mind in Ephesians? The peace of God through the Holy Ghost keeps your heart and your mind. Keep it from what? Now, as you get up in the morning, you can say you lay down and you worry about, and people lay down a lot of time and worry, right?
Right.
And you could wake up with a heart attack, a stroke. So the Jesus says, worry not. Why did he say be anxious and worry not? Let not your heart be troubled. Because I want you to live long, well, and be in health and be free. But you can't hardly get people from stopping worry, can you? You have to pay them $1,000, they still going to worry. I just got to be upset. But I got to worry about this. This is my mission to worry. This is my calling to worry. Yeah, for a short life. For a short life. And then make the doctor rich when he give you them 5 pills.
Amen.
Hello. But the Jesus wants us free from all of this. He came to free us from this oppression of the enemy. And he gave us the first thing, says, only believe. Walk in faith, for the just shall live by faith. Conquer the enemy and the problem that come against you, get inside of your life to control your destiny. And all of us fight this fight, and he tell us how to win. And it may not be easy, but you keep on doing what he said, you're going to win the battle against worry, fear, anxiety, controlling your thoughts all day long. Because he got use of you to use your faith and your authority to do the works of God. So now you catch most people are worried about coronavirus. They're worried about they lost their jobs, or they have lost their homes, or they lost their businesses. So who are they going to trust in now? Since they are losing everything they consider valuable they need on the earth. Fear is taking over. Hallelujah. That demon of fear is robbing us of fellowship and peace and time of joy with God. Now, when fear comes and worry comes, it robs you of your joy and your peace, and you can't hardly get along with these people. Once you lose your joy and your peace, and you are fearful and you're worried, you're hard to get along with. Hello.
Amen. Amen.
Hello. Now, I can understand people, you know, they're losing their job, they don't feed their kids, they can't pay their rent, their business is gone, their livelihood is threatened, and now we're going to have to learn how to walk by faith and live by faith in God. Wait a minute, hold on. The just shall live by faith. Wait a minute now. I know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, but yeah, that sounds good in church. And I sang it and I shouted, but now you're going to have to live it. I know you sang it and shouted and preached it, but now you're going to have to live it.
Amen.
All of us. All they call themselves the covenant believers. All right, where are our sisters at? God wants to heal us and make us an example to the world how we should live and overcome by faith in the Lamb of God. He wants us to demonstrate how to walk by the faith of God, the faith of Christ, to overcome all things in this life so people will see the kingdom of God. That greater is he that is for us than he that be against us. That mountain against you, that problem against you, that financial problem is against you. You could worry yourself sick and die over that financial problem. You can have an instant heart attack and stroke. Oh, I don't know what to do, Brother Nate. I don't know. You said, sister, let me help you to get free of that worry. No, brother, I don't want you to pray that. No, I can't get rid of my worry. Worry is the only thing that can comfort me. Now, when you get through praying from the oppressor will leave, but you know the next 2 days he's going to knock back on that door and they're going to let him back in.
Yeah.
So they got to be taught how to keep him out, right?
Amen.
I said, not only get rid of him, but keep him out. You know how those rats are, you kill them, and you got to worry about the keeping them rats out of there?
Amen.
Because if you don't, they're coming right back. So the Lord want to teach us how to live in liberty. Isaiah 61, he wants to live the church and show the world and the nation how this people, peculiar people, this holy people, living without fear, without worry and anxiety, and walking in hope. And they're looking at this strange, peculiar people. Who are these people that are walking in liberty and walking in freedom and walking in peace and love and the joy? Who are these people when the world is falling apart and crumbling and Satan moving? Why are they walking in such assurance and peace and power? Where they get that from? Amen, right?
Amen.
Now, amen. The secret is meditating in the Word day and night, Psalm 1. Now, here's I'm going to just leave one secret that and let alone come. When he gave this to me, he gave me two when I asked the Lord a question years ago. The Lord can give you an answer. The Lord give
Amen.
People an answer, but they don't follow them.
Amen.
Hello. The Lord
Amen.
Can give you the answer. But the thing is, have you ever been driving with a person, they gave you direction, and they didn't follow the direction, and they went on another because they didn't follow the direction?
Right.
If we don't follow his directions, what do you expect God to do if you don't follow his advice? Well, if he said, let not your heart be troubled, yeah, but you don't know, Lord. Yeah, I know, Lord, you said that, but you just don't understand. These children are trying to kill me. My mother-in-law is about to kill me. The people on the job, they don't like me. So I'm going to let them kill me because they don't like me. All right, we're going to invite our sisters on now. The Lord wants us to walk in freedom and liberty. Isaiah said he wants us to show the world a kingdom of God that's different from the kingdom of this world. A kingdom influence and power greater than anything in this world. And this is why this coronavirus was an opportunity for the church world to stand up. Well, a few stood up, But the majority of the other Christians, did they stand up? Were they did they show up and show out, or what? What happened there, Brother Nate?
No, they didn't.
Why not?
That's a good question.
Well, we better come to an answer on our knees and find the answer why the majority of the Christian world, especially the Western world, they didn't stand up and didn't show out. Okay. Where you at, Sister Allison?
Amen.
Okay, Sister Helen?
Okay, here goes Sister Anderson. I can get up.
Out.
Okay,
so black lands you stand in the way.
God bless.
God bless you all. God bless.
Yes.
And as I was saying, the reason the people didn't show up and show out is because exactly as what was being said, that they did not follow the instructions and the plan that we have been given. And as you said, the word tells us to pray without ceasing. The word tells us to go before the Lord and to stay there until we hear from heaven. And that's why we don't show up and show out in the Lord.
Oh, my goodness. You sound like you're a fanatic, sister.
I know, brother. I know. But that, you know what? My mind is made up. I've been telling the sisters my mind's made up, brother. And I thank and I praise the Lord. And you know what? And I tell them, too, I don't mean to be hard, but some things I just don't care about anymore. Some things.
My God.
You know, I just don't.
We got a sister in Christ, a soldier in Christ, that seemed like she just, like David said, my mind is fixed, my heart is fixed, my mind made up.
It is. Thank God.
Sound like you got a warrior mentality, sister, warrior of God mentality.
Amen. We do.
I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord because you know what? I look upon it as the word says that the Lord would never leave you. He would never forsake you. And to me, it has been proven, you know, as you were speaking earlier about this COVID-19 and the things that the people have gone through. You know, sometimes we put ourselves through things.
Yes.
Through things. Because the Lord said he would not forsake us. He would not leave us. And in the storm, he'll be right there with you. But we have to believe on him. We have to accept him. We have to want him to be in our lives in order for him to be with us in the storm. But, you know, some people, it's just like a parable, like the Lord says, okay, I'm going to bless you with this apple. I am going to bless you with this apple. But you get so impatient, you tell the Lord, oh, that's all right. I'll take the orange. I'll be happy with the orange. No. He said, wait. And that's what he said. Wait up on the Lord. Go before
Amen.
Him until you hear from, call on him. And I've learned also that is why the Lord said there need to be a solemn assembly. Because we go before the Lord and we stay and we say what we have to tell him. But do we wait for what he has to tell us? And a lot of times when he tells us, we don't listen. We do not accept it because, no, Lord, that's not the answer I'm looking for. No, you didn't tell me to do that. No, I know you didn't. We do not listen. That's why we're in the state that we are in. A lot of these things are backbiting and you have to do this and you have to do that. And, I be obedient. I try my best to be obedient to what this word said and what God said. But I tell you, all of this other stuff, brother, I just don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I don't. And I know people think that that's an awful thing to say. But there are some things that will tear you down. They will keep you worried and keep you in a state of oppression and stressing you out. So, no, you have to let them go. And including my children, I've given them to the Lord. And, one thing the Lord let me know, when he give me a prayer, you prayed that prayer. You prayed that prayer. The Lord have answered that prayer and told you what to do. Now, leave it alone. Leave it alone.
So, amen. Amen. Sound, sister, like you got a kingdom mentality, a warrior mentality. Now you got a kingdom mentality. Wow. Goodness gracious. After a while, they'll be calling you a fanatic or something like that, or something of that nature.
Well, if anybody want to call me that, brother, that the mind I have, thank God for it, I don't care.
Amen.
Because, you know what? It's time out for this. It's time out for all
Amen.
Of this foolishness. And I'm going to say this that people don't want you to say, plan church. It's time out for this. You know, we get on our knees and we pray and we give up. And we go on about doing the things that we were doing before we got on our knees. You know, we have to be real. It's time to be real. The Lord gave it to me earlier this year that he have given us a grace period. And he brought Jezebel. He gave Jezebel a time to repent, and she repented not. And this is exactly what's going on. All these things that's going on and these million of lives that's been lost. But the people that are left here, Jesus said, you still here. He giving you another chance. You are still here. But people are not taking advantage of that. They are not believing the Lord Jesus Christ for his word. And it's time to repent. And I thank and I praise the Lord because it is time to repent. It's time to call on the name of Jesus. And tonight I'm here because of the way I feel. I am here. And I'm not going by my feeling, but I'm talking about the way I feel about this word and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to extend an invitation of life to the people tonight because we are still in this grace period. So therefore, you still have a chance. And for all you have to do is to go to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. I am a sinner. Come and live in me. And I ask you to forgive me a sinner. People do not want to ask the Lord to forgive them. Oh, I went once and I asked him, so that's all it takes. No, if your foot slips, you are done because we are not saved until we endure to the end. To the end. And we do not know when that end is going to be. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready daily, hourly, because our foot could slip in a moment. And that devil can snatch you away because he is sitting and he's waiting. He's sitting and he's waiting for that moment.
Amen.
And I thank and I praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I am a sinner. Come and live in me. And I ask you to forgive me because I am a sinner. And wash me in the blood. Wash me in your blood. You know, I came to realize that when you do that, you know, the Lord gives you joy. He gave you peace, and most of all, you have the love of God living down on the inside of you. And I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord. You know what? I'm too old. I've been in this too long to turn back now. I just want to get deeper in depth in the word of Jesus and in prayer. I want to be deeper in it. And whatever people want to call me, that's all right. That's all right.
Amen.
You know what? People want to use that word. I'm down with it. Okay, I'm down with it. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Jesus. It's past time.
Amen.
Past time.
Sister Helen?
Amen. Thank the Lord for Jesus. I thank the Lord for the word that went forth tonight. Oh, I'm just speechless tonight. Amen.
Amen. Am I back on again?
You back on?
Oh yeah, I was just enjoying the testimony and sharing of the two sisters and hopefully that many people were enjoying and learning something and grasping something about their dedication and faith. And when you hear real dedication and real consecration, it comes out in people's actions and their words, what they are coming to, a day of consecration and dedication to Christ and his purpose. So it's always good to listen to when you see people moving in their consecration and dedication to Christ and their heart getting fixed and their mind getting made up, that nothing is like Sister Crockett, you always sing. Like, Sister Crockett, I missed that song. Maybe you're singing it in heaven right now. Will you let anything separate you from the love of God in Christ? Will you let anybody? And we know that many bodies have separated many people from God. They let some person, some individual, some organization separate them from the love of God because they were not rooted in him. And when you're not rooted in Christ through the revelation of your relationship and your walk with God, you will get uprooted. See, you have to be rooted in him personally. And this is what a lot of people, they are part of an organization. I say, well, I belong to the church and I know this. But that won't hold you. That won't keep you. You have to be rooted personally in an intimate relationship and fellowship with Christ in the Holy Ghost. Now,
Lord.
You notice that I was thinking just a minute ago, many people pray, and we're not going to get what are the things that God will qualify and answer your prayers. Now, you talk about waiting upon God, and Christians don't like to wait, sister. They don't know how to possess the things of God. They don't know how to lay hold on the things and not let it go because in patience you possess the promise. So you have. So when you talk about learning how to wait until God bring it to pass and holding fast, you're talking foreign language because we don't like to wait. We don't believe in that wait. We always want this instant coffee stuff, and if we can't have instant coffee, we don't want. We start, God ain't going to answer. I let this go. Let me go on by my business. And if we want instant call. And the third thing I understand, that when we pray, prayer is a communication with God after your fellowship with God. Mm-hmm. And your fellowship with God, in order to communicate with God, you have to have a fellowship and a relationship to have communication with God. Now, he hears the sinner's prayer and have mercy upon them. But the believers, his children, must have fellowship and a relationship where they communicate. Now, you notice people pray, but they hardly take time to listen.
Amen.
Amen.
They think, you know, we're so Christian used to it, that we're so used to hollering or praying to God, but we're not used to waiting patiently to see what he has to say, because prayer is a two-way communication, two ways.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And we miss the time of communication. Sometimes we make prayer a religious thing. And many times you can get caught and make prayer a religious thing, but not a communication with God and waiting on God to see what he got to say. I prayed my prayer, but did God respond? Did you hear anything? Did he reveal anything? Did he have anything to say after you got to talking to him? Maybe, but did you give him the courtesy, the respect to listen?
Amen.
Because the answer comes and the directions come and the healing come and the deliverance come and the revelation come if we take time to listen.
Lord Jesus.
But I find myself in a modern Western world too busy. I say this again. We live in a Western world of Christianity, which we always are busy.
Yes. Too busy.
I found myself being too busy for God.
Yes.
Okay.
I say it again. I point myself. I found myself being too busy with my things in life.
Yes.
Now, I really not bring this up because he brought just a few minutes. He said we don't take time to listen to him. It's kind of disrespect. You're talking to somebody and you don't take time to listen to them, and you're talking that they're your father. But he said, they don't give me no time. They just want to cry and moan and complain and this and that. But they won't give me time to talk and answer.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So they hang the telephone up, and they said their piece, and they don't give nobody a chance to respond. They said, boom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's kind of disrespectful, irrelevantly. We find ourselves getting caught in religion. We give God his name. But then now there's types of prayers where you have to wait upon the Lord. And where we lose it, we don't learn to wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lost a lot of things not waiting.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Hallelujah. I miss a lot of things not learning to wait upon
Him.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We give up because the coffee ain't ready in 2 minutes. Sister, the coffee ain't ready. It may have to brew a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We have been trained in the Christian, not in the Jewish or the Jesus tradition. We are Western and born in a Western culture, and we operate and think like Westerners. And we relate to God and says, I got a lot of things to do, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I cannot take a certain time and give you 2 hours to wait on you. Now, you notice what Jesus did? Every evening he was in the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe it, read the scripture. You saw him coming down early in the morning from the mountain. He said, let's go. Every time you see, he's coming down from across the river by himself, and he telling the disciples, wake up, let's go.
Yeah, Jesus. Amen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, he permitted for all the people in the coronavirus to be at home for months.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
sure did.
For months. Why?
Mm-hmm.
He also allowed it that the church's meeting was not able to get together physically. Now, and he's watching to see what we're going to do.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I'm telling you, beloved, when 2021, he gave us this in 2020 to wake up, to wake up the church world, to wake up the business world, to wake up the government world, wake up marriages and homes, and wake up and stir us up and turn our eyes up on him like we used to do 40 and 50 years ago.
Amen.
But it seemed we didn't understand why he permitted, he did not send the virus. God did not send the coronavirus.
Amen.
It did not come from him.
Amen.
Now, when he told me that he didn't send it, but he permitted it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And Satan was behind the influence of it, but the Lord allowed it.
Yes.
But what's coming next in 2021 is going to be a different story.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, saints, this is a new day. This is a September is the beginning of the new year. September is the beginning of the new year. We are in a new year right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is the first month of the Jewish New Year. See, I'm Jewish, and so I just got to go along with it. I'm Jewish, you know. I'm Israelite, so I got to go along, you know. I don't know about y'all.
Amen.
I'm of the house of Joseph, so I'm going with their calendar. Hey, I'm not going with y'all calendar.
Amen.
Amen.
So We're now in the first month of the new year Jewish calendar.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yes, Jesus.
We're about to experience something that we're going to be talking about in a little bit, piece by piece, what's about to take place in 21.
Mm-hmm.
We are all under Labashata. So, okay, Sister Helen, you got the last, oh, we got 5 minutes, or what is it? Yeah.
You got about four minutes. Yeah, brother.
Yeah, okay, we got 4 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. Father God, we just truly thank you on tonight, Lord God. Father God, we just truly thank you for each and every one, Lord God, that is listening in on the broadcast tonight, Lord God. In thy precious and holy name, Lord God. And Father God, that we would take heed unto thy word, Father, and that the eyes of our understanding might come open, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we
just
lift up the other nations,
Lord
God. Iraq, Lord God. Iran, Lord God. India, Lord God. Africa, Lord. Australia, hallelujah. The Philippines, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, we lift up California before you, Lord. And Colorado before you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will stretch forth your hand of mercy, Lord God.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name, Lord God, that you will send your words, Lord God.
Send your words.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and Father God, we just ask you, Lord Jesus, to look on the United States of America, Lord God.
Yes,
that you will look in the White House, Lord God, on the president, on his family, Lord God. Lord, on the vice president, Lord God, on the Biden, Lord God. Father God, that you would touch them, Lord God, that you would touch their hearts and their minds, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that you would open up their eyes that they might see, Lord. Give them ears to hear, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, give them a spiritual awakening,
hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Lord,
hallelujah.
Jesus, look and have mercy, Lord God. In the name
Lord.
Thank them, Father God.
Yes,
thank them,
Lord. Do it,
Lord.
Do it, Lord.
Let them know that you're calling them by name, hallelujah.
Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh,
yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank you tonight, Lord. And we pray
Lord Jesus.
Lord God. And Father God, we just ask you to just look on everyone that's listening
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you that are listening again. Another broadcast will come on tomorrow night. Look for the 7 o'clock time tomorrow night. So praise be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. As for Brother Lee and Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Teague, we love you all. God bless and God keep you in Jesus' name.
God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless.
Yes, Lord.